You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome to this homecoming preview of Bison Report Radio, brought to you by Gateway Chevrolet. Joining me today is Mr. Jackson Brown. JB, how we doing, buddy?
Man, doing great. Looking forward to another packed weekend of football.
Let's just dive right in. Let's get to the news. Derek Tuska, your good buddy, has... bounced around a little bit, but still in the league and still on an active roster. When you get claimed off waivers, you do not go to the practice squad. You go to the 53. So Derek Tuska to the Los Angeles Chargers following a short stint, and I think a start with the Titans. I think he started for Tennessee and then got cut, which is something. But out now with Easton in L.A., those guys obviously won a lot of football games together, so has to be just so tremendously awesome for those two. Derek seeing the whole Denver, Pittsburgh, Nashville, Los Angeles. He's getting very different cultures at each stop, and it's cool to see, but definitely fun to watch his NFL journey continue. Speaking of NFL journeys continuing, Zach Johnson is on his way to the Baltimore Ravens practice squad, which is a big deal for him and for NDSU. You love to see those guys continuing to be successful, or you love to see those guys at least sticking on, holding on to the dream, and that is you just love to see it for Zeej. Less than ideal news on Noah Gindorf. Coach was very cryptic at the press conference. None of the vibes around this are good. Said they wouldn't have him. Said it was an old injury that just won't heal. I have zero good vibes here about Gindy. I don't love anything that we're hearing. And finally, just wanted to shout out NDSU men's golf. Just how impressive their fall season has been. Coach Steve Kennedy, they took second at Kansas State's Invitational to Kansas State. I've played Colbert Hills. It's a very, very difficult golf course. You have to hit it very well to score well at Colbert Hills. Very impressed with them there. And then winning the Zach Johnson Invitational, which is Iowa State's home tournament, I would assume, beating Iowa State by two shots on their home course. Really, really impressive. For a mid-major golf program that gets to play outside 7.5 months out of the year, shout to Steve Kennedy and shout to the Bison golf team. Very, very impressed with their work. All right, JB, homecoming.
Yes, sir.
I know you didn't make it back to the homecoming game this year, and I don't actually anticipate seeing you this week, but you have come home before. What's it going to be like for your brothers, the guys that come back, whether it's Trev's generation, whether it's Chuck Claybo's generation, whether it's Chad Stark's generation? Yes, Chad, I'm calling you old. What is it like to just – and obviously, like, some guys still live in the community and you see them at tailgating every week. But sure. Homecoming's special, and what's it like to just reconnect with those guys that you, went through the blood and the sweat and the tears with?
Oh, it's great. It's hard to beat. And, you know, obviously everyone's got their own career paths and everything. So, you know, even just getting up there, you know, once a year or twice a year, whether it's homecoming, whatever, is always fun. And it's always great to reconnect with the guys. You know, you spend 365 days a year for 5 years, essentially, you know, with these guys, with the same group of, you know, boys in your class, whatever, and just reconnecting is great. Anytime you get to spend some time with them and, you know, bring up some old stories and, you know, talk about really anything and just catching up, it's always great. And then two, just reconnecting with the fan base. I tell people all the time, I never feel as important as I do until I get up to Fargo as an alumni, because, you know, I don't have anybody recognizing me anywhere outside of Fargo. But as soon as I get back up there, I always have a couple people who recognize me, and it makes me feel really important. So, you know, just hearing the stories and having conversations with the fans too is always something I really look forward to. So overall, just great to always get back up there and reconnect.
Yeah, homecoming is great. I remember living in small town North Dakota, about an hour and a half away, or hour and 20 minutes away from Fargo, I'd always look forward to homecoming because there was the Bison Bitters Bowl and stuff like that. And my parents were heavily involved. So usually it was a Holiday Inn, the big one with the water park, and we'd get a hotel. I'd get to skip 2 days of school, which was always awesome. Early years, you know, they'd find a babysitter of one of their friends in Fargo or bring one with. And then in later years, man, I just, like, fifth, sixth, seventh grade, just had the run of the Holiday Inn for 2 days while my parents were off doing, you know, God knows what for homecoming. Remember the parade, remember very cold versions of the Saturday morning parade that has now been moved to Friday evening. By the way, you guys are getting this on a Friday, probably pretty close to when the parade route will start. A beautiful 70-ish, 68-ish low wind forecast for parade. I remember running into the street chasing candy. It just awesome memories and vibes from homecoming. So very excited for this weekend, and homecoming always bringing back good memories, and often too, like, good memories in the football games. I'll never forget Carson hitting Shep in the back of the end zone against UNI in homecoming. What, just absolutely sending the unreal people into a frenzy. So always fun. We are brought to you by the good people at Gateway Chevrolet. Remember, your trade is always worth more at Gateway Chevrolet. They'll make you a cash offer or trade it in towards their ever-changing new inventory and used inventory. Was just over at Gateway the other day to see my buddy John Cole, and boy, I'm just continually impressed by their inventory in a day and age where a lot of these used and new car lots are a ton of pavement. They got a ton of cars, and I have been impressed with their ability to stay on top of inventory and have hopefully the options that you and your family are looking for. And the good people, like my guy Mike Livingston over at Gateway Service, are excellent as well. Their quick lube will have you in and out with an oil change, or if you got bigger problems than that, their pricing, in my opinion, has always been extremely fair. Details online at gatewayfargo.com. Okay, JB, an impressive start, I think, or a hard start to gauge, maybe, from Youngstown State. They look excellent offensively, but, you know, it's tough. How much stock do you put into them getting drilled by Kentucky? Okay, well then, how much stock do you put into their other games against Duquesne and who?
Dayton.
Yeah, I mean, not great, Bob. So right. How do you, you know, you remove the butt whooping from last year in Youngstown from your mind? How do you treat this as the nameless, faceless opponent?
Yeah, and I mean, you hit it right on the head. It's really tough to gauge, but I think it makes it easier for the coaches to emphasize how important this week is, because you don't know who you're getting on the other side of the ball, so you really can only worry about yourselves, right? But two, you know, you have to look at their current situation, and you can't look back to last year, the butt whooping that was put on them, because they're almost a new team, you know, and I'm over exaggerating a little bit, but Youngstown loves their transfers, and they've got some guys this year that are making an impact immediately that weren't even on the team last year. So difference makers all over the field that are new, that were not there before. So that's one thing. But two, like I said, you know, with the toughness to gauge, you know, their credibility and whatnot so far this year, that's just going to, you know, add further fuel to the fire with the coaching staff. And it's just going to be, you know, really emphasized and hit home that you don't know who you're getting this weekend. So it's going to be all up to themselves and not beating themselves, as they always like to say.
Absolutely. 21-point favorites. It's homecoming. There are distractions related to homecoming. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but just like there's more stuff going on. Right. More folks around. You're you know, maybe seeing old players here and there or whatever. And you're heavy favorites. Rushing total last year is really interesting because it was 454 yards on the ground, which is just a bananas number from a team that doesn't run the triple option. And it's a bananas number for whatever. It doesn't. I mean, it's insane. But holding Youngstown to 59 yards rushing was really impressive. Right now, Youngstown is the number two rush offense in the MVFC behind NDSU. I wonder what they did. And I watched the tape a little bit. Lane Tucker had a hell of a game. B. Tom had a good game, but Cole Wisniewski was available in that one. And Jackson Hanke didn't miss a ton of tackles early either. Plus, you got in a situation where what's the number one way to take away someone's run game? Be up 17, be up 21, be up 28. You can't run the ball down 28, or you can, but you shouldn't. impressive work last year from a back that they have back now, and some, you know, someone that the Bison have to be very concerned about.
Yeah, it's impressive to see his numbers. And I know this is just something that's going to add further fuel to the fire. As I said before, it's just another layer of competition and something else that the coaches are going to emphasize this week. They're looking for any reason or any sort of, you know, tidbit in the stats or whatever it may be to find some motivation and find some further motivation for the guys to want to compete. And that's just another thing that's going to do it.
Again, interesting. Going to get answers on Saturday because right now, Youngstown State, 69.7 yards per game on the ground against. And you say, okay, well, are Dayton and Duquesne good? No. Okay, well, Kentucky has Will Levis. They have a potential first-round pick at quarterback. Maybe they weren't trying to run the ball against Youngstown State. Maybe they didn't want to run the ball against Youngstown State. How good is this run defense that gave up 450-plus to the Bison just a season ago? We're going to get some answers. It's very interesting to me, as bad as they were now, or as bad as they were then, to be the number two run D in the Valley through 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's like you said, there's going to be questions answered. And I think that's going to be preached all week too. I think I could probably script the defensive unit meetings this week. I can just hear Coach Braun and all the position coaches and exactly what they're going to be emphasizing. And that fire and that competitiveness is gonna show up this week, and we're gonna find out some answers and you know, see what these stats are really talking about.
I totally agree. I just think you have maybe some smoke and mirrors, or maybe a game that shouldn't have a 21-point spread. And I think we're gonna know early on in the proceedings. I think we're gonna have a really good grasp on whether this Youngstown State team is for real, because as we mentioned, they are transfer heavy, and sometimes those teams have, like you saw them with Missouri State, they went from a legitimate bottom of the barrel scraping team to you know, a top 3-4 ish program in the Valley in short order, and that can happen at the mid-major level, whether it's college hoops, whether it's FCS football. You start bringing in experienced kids and buying into your program. Sometimes you can jump over those mid-tier teams that have been developing guys for 2, 3, 4 years and maybe not doing it at the level that North Dakota State does it. All right, folks, if you are doing business with insurance companies around the area where they sell the one product, and that product is above their door, it's something that you see maybe when you're watching football on the weekend in a commercial, it's something that you hear about in their spot on the radio, you're taking a gamble. That gamble is that that person in that office selling that one product has exactly what you and your family need. And if they don't, you either pay too much, or you don't get the right coverage, or you have to go to 7 or 8 or 9 different versions of that person to get what you and your family really need. Don't do that. Have Quinn at Tundra Insurance do that for you. He's got 20 different carriers that he works with on the personal side, on the business side. You got toys. He can do all that as well. Can provide life insurance if that's something your family's interested in. And he will do the shopping for you. He will find the best fit for your family. Tundra Insurance in Horace, 701-969-1661, or stop by. They're just south of Big Herbs right there on the main drag. JB, as we've mentioned, that we have big impacts from transfers. Latrell Fordham is starting at wide receiver on the offense. Jalen Kreider and Devin Lee getting snaps on the defensive line. You mentioned Youngstown State, always been a big transfer, and you can, I mean, it's easy to see how many FBS programs do you have in the state of Ohio where a kid can get unhappy. How many kids, how many FBS programs do you have in the state of Michigan where kids can get unhappy? You see it left and right with guys ending up at Youngstown.
Yeah, and it's always been a thing that we talk about too, and surely these transfers a lot of times can add a boost and add depth and things of that nature, and obviously we're seeing it so far, at least statistically, that it has provided a nice boost for their defense. Now again, as we said before, they're going to get their their test this week, and then we're going to see, you know, exactly how much that defense has changed and how much it's been bolstered. But, you know, another thing just to quickly add about transfers too, is we always kind of took it personal. You know, coming from experience, we would always, you know, have to go through the depth charts pregame and whatever. And we were seeing new names almost every year from teams like Youngstown who are getting different transfers and stuff like that. And, you know, we kind of took it personally because we never looked as much to get these transfers and these guys with immediate impact. We took pride in, you know, the homegrown nature and things like that. So, you know, it always just kind of provided a little extra chip on the shoulder. So, you know, we'll see how, well the, revamped, squad is going to look this weekend.
I think Mike McAllister, who's not a transfer, Mike McAllister was, I believe, first team for me, a season ago, on my all MVFC team, which I believe I dubbed the correct all MVFC team, but Mike might be the best center in the MVFC. What's that like? You played on the front seven, you played a little linebacker in your day. When the other team, I mean, everybody knows about the stud left tackle, obviously, right? And the Bison have one of those in Cody. But when the other team's center is just a dog, what does that do for their offense?
Oh, it's unbelievable. You know, obviously the direct impact it has on the front line guys. But then too, you know, just from my personal experience, when you had someone so elite at a position like that, and they're crawling up to the second level and they're getting your hands on you, it's tough to get off. And a guy like this is, you know, if we allow him to get to that second level and, you know, put his hands on some of the smaller guys, it's going to be tough. So, the impact a guy like that has is immense, and you know, just got to contain it as much as possible.
Yeah, he's been really, really impressive. I think they lost the guard. I loved one of their guards last year as well, and I think he either transferred out or graduated. But McAllister is just awesome, man, and super, super, super fun to watch. Tackling, JB, it's a point of emphasis. It's something that we've talked about quite a bit. It's a big deal this weekend. I want to talk about Jaleel McLaughlin, because a guy obviously that was completely taken out of the game plan by NDSU a season ago, but right now my man is averaging 8.5 per carry and 4.5 per carry after first contact. I would say that a running back is doing a pretty damn good job if they're averaging 4.5 per clip. 4.5 per clip after first contact is banana land.
That's absurd. And I think too, that's just something again that, the staff's going to have that highlighted all over the locker room, all over the meeting rooms. I can just see it right now. I can hear the defensive unit meeting right now, but wow. Yeah, that's impressive, especially with the slate of games they played this year. It's incredible. And the 4.5 yards per carry after contact might be even more impressive than the 8 yards per carry in general. So, it'll be really interesting to see. And, you know, like you said, the tackling is going to be absolutely paramount. I've been in games where we've just absolutely missed the boat on tackling. And I'll tell you firsthand, the next week of practice, was not the most fun, and there's a lot of bumps and bruises and a lot of tired guys. So, I know they got the reps this week, and they're going to be prepared for it.
I want to take it just a brief side tangent because it's something that I asked Coach Entz on Monday. How does that work? Because I know like a ton of 11-on-11 goes to a thud. So when you're not tackling well, and you don't want, I mean, you don't want to send Nick Kubitz at Tamarick Williams. Like 12 times in a press. So how do you rep tackling a week after a tough tackling performance without giving your running backs to, or whomever, and opening your team up for potential injuries?
Yeah. Two things. One, the scout team is going to be a little extra bruised this week for sure. Those guys will be taking a little bit of extra beating just because it's going to be so emphasized. But then two, the individual periods of practice are going to be really emphasized on it. Whether that's bringing someone to the ground necessarily, I don't know. In my day, we would call it Tackling Tuesday. That's what we called Tuesdays following games that we would not tackle well, because those Tuesdays being the grittiest practice of the week, we knew we were going to be hitting some hats together. So the individual periods will be huge, and a lot of it will just be technique stuff and making sure they're in the right position to tackle. But too, if it's anything like my time there, there will be some guys on the ground and there will be a little more urgency for sure.
So a lot more hitting first and second year players down to the ground.
Exactly.
That's fair. Shout to the scout team. Always, yeah. Always shout to the scout team. On the other side, very impressive. Only 25 total missed tackles through three games for Youngstown State, which includes a game against nationally ranked Kentucky. They are getting guys to the ground well, and it's showing, like I said, with averaging less than 70 yards per game allowed on the ground. Impressive, especially, like I said, after 454 yards of rushing offense from the Bison last year. These guys are getting guys to the ground.
Yeah. Another thing that's just going to be drilled into these guys' head all week. I can hear T-Roll right now running through contact. Things of that nature, because it does seem like they are a very stout tackling team. That means every single yard, every single yak yard that we can get is going to be heavily emphasized. And I know T-Roll's getting them right and getting their mindsets right.
Okay, we've talked a ton about Youngstown State. Mm-hmm. And normally, we don't talk that much about the opponent, or we give them their due respect. But so much of NDSU football is just the Bison playing to the highest level that the Bison can play. What are you looking for from NDSU now after what Trev called six bad quarters of football? But I mean, after the rare loss at Arizona, and then ultimately having to come from behind in a road game at USD that probably didn't go the way that Bison fans had it scripted in their heads as well.
Yeah. Call me a little partial, but I'm just really excited to see the defense show up, for multiple reasons. One, we talked about already, the tackling. I know they'll respond to that. We always tend to. So I'm excited to see the guys put some hats on some people. But then too, I want to see the trench warfare this week. I want to see what the front is going to do, and what we can do against an incredibly talented back and an offense that has had some success rushing. And like I said, it's going to be emphasized all week, but I'm excited to see how the front really responds after some questions that have been posed over the last few weeks.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm a big passing game guy. You know, I unfortunately was very small and not that good. But I always, more than playing point guard, more than doing anything, I wanted to be a quarterback. That was my thing. So I love, and frankly, the two teams that I've chosen, I've got to watch or just incredible quarterback play for the last 25 years. So I'm a big passing game guy, and that's where I think my biggest emphasis is this week, as far as what I'm, you know, looking forward to watching, because I know this Bison offense can run the football. You talk about Jalen Sundell, Cody Mock, Nash Jensen, Jake Kubis, by the way, God bless America. I was watching that game against Youngstown State, and he was on the ground, and I'm not saying he played like trash, but like, he is just such a better football player this year. It's insane. The jump that he has taken at that right guard position. He just so much better and good for that kid. God, man, it's fun to watch. But I know they can run the ball. And frankly, I know they can pass block. But what I want to see is more plays from my guy, DJ Hart. Featured him on BRTV this week. I want to see if Zach Mathis can continue to stack success. Maybe they get Phoenix Sproles back a little. Maybe they get Rajah worked in, and still just pining for Bryce Lance. Always and forever waiting to see number 5 unleashed against somebody. But that's what I'm looking for is what they're able to do in the passing offense if they even need it. Again, 454 yards on the ground against these guys last year. I'll fire off first with my score prediction. I think this one might be one that leaves Bison fans wanting a little bit. I've got 30-13. I don't think they're gonna get. I think it might be a little bit of a clunky start where they pull away at the end. I don't think this is going to be the knockdown, drag out pounding that they gave Youngstown a year ago.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I actually had such a similar score prediction that I'm going to change it a little bit. So I'm going to go 35-13.
Okay.
I think you're right in the sense that it might be a little bit of a fist fight the first half or at least for the introductory phase of the game, but I think eventually we will pull out and wear them down.
Alrighty, appreciate you, JB. Certainly appreciate our fantastic sponsors. Tundra Insurance in Horace and Gateway Chevrolet on the I-29 Frontage Road in Fargo. Want to thank Jackson. Want to thank all you wonderful people for listening. Have a phenomenal weekend, and go Bison.